You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Along with our friends John and Gordy, who are here, Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2, and you can hear John and Gordy over there in Madison Studio A1 weekdays from 6 to 8 on our station Madison. And then again, I think every hour on the hour or something like that across the Civic Media Radio Network. No, what's the current afternoon shift?
2 to 5.
2 to 5.
Last time we checked, yeah.
Yes. Well, careful. Don't look at your inbox. That might have been.
We've now christened this the John and Gordy Studio.
As no well, it should A1, be
A2 or whatever you say there.
Yep. Yep. We'll just go to the John and Gordy Studio. That makes perfect sense.
John and Gordy Station is what it is.
It's becoming that. Yes, very much so. Coming up in half an hour, we'll be talking to Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride. He's got a new book out about a tumultuous 2020, his first year in office. And everything that was happening in Tosa during that troubled time. Jane Matinair joins us before the hour is up as well. And along the way, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Our question of the day, is Cyber Monday still a thing? Are you still buying stuff online, especially on Cyber Monday? We'll talk to John about his online buying habits in just a bit. But first, we got to get to the snow, which I haven't said much about here because, I mean, we are on the edge of it, so we got about 4 inches here. So, you know, had to get the snowblower out. I had not checked it out ahead of time. So it took many rounds, even with an electric start, because it had, you know, the old gas in there and the oil and everything. And eventually it banged like, you know, the old Model Ts, the jalopies, where you had to crank the engine literally with a crank and then it would bang and sputter. And
wow.
That's exactly what happened. But it did finally work. But that was just the 4 inches here. Madison, did I see right? 12 inches there?
Yes.
About 12. Ooh, right. 12.4 inches, I believe, in this area. Okay. Unbelievable. Yeah.
How'd you do with that?
I think the worst place was Fort Atkinson. I think they might have had a little bit more. Mm,
yeah.
But I had to do it in two shifts, basically. After Friday, we had to go out there on Saturday, do half of it. And then, of course, the other half came and dumped Saturday night. And then Sunday morning was a disaster. I was pushing snow. I wasn't blowing snow anymore.
You had a little trouble with your snow blower.
And that's the problem. I have a snow blower that doesn't blow snow anymore. It just pushes it.
So you just have a big heavy shovel.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just crazy. It really is. I've had it. You know, the thing is, I have been, you know, waiting year after year after year for dry snow again. We're not getting dry snow anymore. That's it. It's all wet snow from now on. So I've got to get a different snow blower that can handle that kind of stuff. I took some calls on that, and somebody appealed to what I really prefer, and that is battery-operated devices now.
Yes.
Instead of the gasoline. And somebody suggested an Ego. That's a brand, Ego. And I have a Ego lawnmower. So all you have to do is get one of those. They said it worked wonders. It lasted. They get two batteries with that, and the battery should be about an 80 volt. So keep in mind, the battery, the better it is, the more power you have, the longer it lasts. I didn't think a battery-operated snowblower would work. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of power. I mean, you really need power, and for a long period of time.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, you got these electric cars now, battery powered, and yet they're going 0 to 60, you know, faster than they ever have before. So,
yes,
I mean, you can do it, and you would know, being the EV owner that you are.
I am. You know? Yes.
By the way, it's not. Well, does this mean that big, massive, you know, Bucky's size charging station that you got for your garage? Will you be using that for your snowblower next? And can the rest of the neighborhood come plug into this thing?
Wow, that'd be kind of cool, but no.
Okay.
It doesn't work like that.
No, I could be wrong, but I mean, the stories make it sound like it's another 3 Mile Island in the waiting, you know, just inside that garage, this thing that you've put in.
Well, some of our listeners were offering you some other advice with your current snowblower, like put some Pam or Crisco on your snowblower blades,
WD-40, coat the inside of the snowblower container so snow wouldn't stick to it.
Right.
But I think
tried that.
No, I haven't tried. I've never tried that. But I've had it with this snowblower. I'm done.
You're ready to buy another one.
I am so done with this thing. Oh God.
Ours was definitely wet and heavy to move it. Although I have to say, although you have to go a little bit slower as a result, it is a nice alternative to when it's really light and fluffy. And I know you can move the spout either way and everything, but it just feels like you never get it quite right to avoid getting a face full of snow. Yeah. You know, it catches the wind just so and nails you. At least with the wet, heavy stuff, it just like plop, just goes over there and gets out of your way.
Yeah, you're right.
You never know what we're going to get at any given point here. And there was a range of snowfalls all around the state. Now we get the cold weather because, you know, people mostly would be today like, oh, it's December. It's December? I can't believe December snuck up on us, which is impossible because it's the same day every year. Today is very December-like. We have had some below zero temperatures in the state.
I can't remember a time when we had snow this early. Maybe 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong on that, but I truly think we normally get our first snowfall about April or May.
Oh, no, it's not that late.
No. It does get all over. And again, we get such a range. I mean, look, the next several days look very cold here all across Wisconsin. But and I haven't looked at the long range forecast, but I'm just saying that in years past, it would not be out of the ordinary that between now and Christmas, you know, that there is some kind of a warm up, and then you get all the, hey, is it going to be a brown Christmas kind of stories? Because I mean, newsrooms live for this kind of stuff. So
sure,
it could happen. You know,
it could.
How was your Thanksgiving weekend?
Pretty uneventful for me. I just went over to my sister's house, who doesn't live all that far away from me, 20, 30 minutes. That's where we gathered the family and checked in on everybody. But no fighting broke out, no discussions of politics.
Our producer had a very interesting event happen to him.
What happened to Dom?
Over the Thanksgiving. Oh, Dom.
Dom, you can get on mic here and tell us.
This is Dom, John and Gordy's producer.
Yes. Hey, Dom. How's it going, guys? Wow, this is I'm honored. I'm honored here.
Well, don't be too honored. They didn't think you were worthy of a camera. So, I mean, we can't see you like we can Parker. Yeah. So you got that. Yep.
There we go.
How's
it going, everybody?
I thought Parker maybe had sabotaged it. There's only one producer allowed on camera here.
That camera has been wigging out lately, so maybe I was trying to.
Things could happen. So, Dom, what happened?
Yeah, so basically I was going from Chicago to West Bend, Wisconsin, about 2.5 hours on the expressway. I think it was Saturday morning. So when it was, you know, hitting snow pretty good, it was already about 5-6 inches in. And I was driving and I did a complete 360 on the expressway.
Ooh.
And I ran right into a barrier. And my wheel was completely destroyed. I had to put on a spare and it was a whole thing. But I was Tokyo drifting on the freeway. It was crazy.
No.
Well, tell them how fast you were going.
How fast were you going, Dom?
60, 65. Well,
congratulations. You've lost all the sympathy I was about to give you.
Yeah, 360.
That was, again, I'm sorry that you went through this. That was really dumb, Dom. That was just, I know.
I've been told from my parents, John and Gordy, and now Pat, too.
No. The dumb thing was that you told the truth.
Yeah.
Just,
admitting
you
it.
You tell
crazy.
People, I was doing 15. I was being so careful. I knew. Nice of you to confess like this. I mean, gosh, you're right up there with Christy Noem and Pete Hegseth. Let's just confess to our crimes in public and consequences be damned. But you did. So is there going to be, like, do you have to go to a body shop now?
Or? I do, yes. This whole week's just trying to fix up my back bumper and make sure everything's good with my car now, because I don't really know what's going to go on this next week with it, but yeah. I need new tires for sure.
Okay. To get to the station then, you know, properly, I mean, are we working out a ride share right now with Parker? Should we just do this now? Parker, are you charging a certain fee as an Uber for him? Or
hey, if you can pay me, yeah. I'll get you.
If all you right, can I've, pay me.
Yeah, how did you get to the station this morning?
I still drove. Like, it still can drive.
Oh,
it's just pretty
that's
beat
wild.
Up.
It can still drive.
Okay. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Dom used a Fast and Furious reference to Tokyo Drift.
That's right. There he did. I mean, this is not unexpected for him. No. guys, our question of the day is whether Cyber Monday is still a thing. And then we just kind of get into shopping habits, people who are really early, people who are really late. Are you just kind of right in the middle with everybody else here? Or will you get online today? Because there are still some kind of mega deals.
I'm done. I did all my shopping. That was it. I spontaneously bought a pair of AI glasses.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's for yourself, right?
Well, yeah, but you know, it's
what about
for
your
myself.
Shopping for the rest of the family?
No, I don't.
Oh, he doesn't do that. It's no, tis the season, you know, for me. It's gifts for me, from me to me. What do these things do? Glasses supposed to do?
Well, I wanted to test them out on the show. They are AI glasses. The microphone is just under the ear, so the headphones can actually supply the audio. And if people had a question during our phone calls or something like that, they could get an answer. I could give them an answer immediately.
You could see
with my glasses, it projects the AI information on my lens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, as we've learned, may or may not be true. But what's the old line? You can get things fast or cheap or good, but not all three of them.
Not all three. You know?
Yeah. So anyway, I bought them and then I changed my mind and I canceled the order within 24 hours. You had to do that if you're getting prescription glasses, which I did. And
They were prescription ones too.
Yes.
Did you just sign over a week's paycheck? I mean, that's not a blue light special at all.
Actually, it was last week's paycheck. So anyway, and I canceled it, but they all of a sudden sent me another email that said, your glasses are on the way.
Yeah.
Oh,
so okay. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute here. You know, I've got proof. I've got email proof that I did what I had to do within 24 hours to cancel my order. We'll see. You know, it's not that big a penalty, but I don't know.
Okay.
I have second thoughts about believing the AI that is on my glasses, as you have mentioned. You can only believe some of it. You got to fact check most of it.
Gordy, getting back to the essence of the question, other people.
Yeah. Oh, yes, other people.
Are you underway with your own shopping?
No, I always wait till the last minute. I don't do any Cyber Monday. I don't do any of this crazy Black Friday stuff. Mm-hmm. I wait until
you have to pay the most money. That's a great plan.
Now, well, I don't have a whole lot of people to shop for. So I just, you know, I go, you know, maybe the day before, you know, a couple of days before Christmas. The shelves are mostly empty. So it makes it a lot easier to choose.
There's not a lot you can find at Quick Trip.
I don't worry about it.
Tony writes on YouTube, if they cancel and they send it, I think you get it for free. No, Tony, yeah. I don't think it works that way. I think there's extradition involved at that point for theft. But all right, so we will follow the saga of John's AI glasses and whether they're free or not in the coming days here. Listen to John and Gordy weekdays statewide across the Civic Media Radio Network and, of course, mornings on our station in Madison. Thank you guys very much. Have a good start to the week.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks, Pat. Same to you.
All right. Still ahead, we are going to be talking to Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge and Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride and Jane Matinere. All ahead. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. We are coming up on 8:23 here on this Monday morning, December 1st. Nice to have you along. And I'm joined by Eau Claire City Council President and candidate for Congress, Emily Berge, as well, because very early this morning, Emily made an announcement, which, you know, when I tell you that and I don't tell you anything else, it could have gone one of two ways, dealing with either the congressional race or her duties as City Council President. It turns out it is the latter of those, Emily. You are not running for a new term as City Council President, right?
That's correct. After 8 years, it's time to step up to Congress. So
okay, and that is to focus on your congressional campaign.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Well, at this point in the 3rd congressional district, there will be a Democratic primary at this point with Emily Berge and Rebecca Cook. And so, Emily, I was looking back at the past couple of elections since Ron Kind's retirement. And as we know, in 2022, Brad Paff emerged from that primary with about 40% of the vote over Rebecca Cook, Deb McGrath, and Mark Newman. And then 2 years ago, there was a primary as well. That one involved Rebecca Cook getting 50% of the vote, Katrina Shanklin about 42%, and Eric Wilson 8%. Now, in this one, of course, Rebecca Cook is running again. Laura Benjamin had been a candidate, but then dropped out of the race. So at this point, it is again going to be a contested Democratic primary. Now, what's going to make the difference this time, Emily, with you running in this primary and taking on Rebecca Cook, who is now in her third try for this race? How's this primary going to be different and lead to something other than Derek Van Orden winning a third term?
Right, which is the ultimate goal, is to beat Derek Van Orden, which is why I'm running. I think the big difference is I have just a lot of ground support in district support. I've earned the support of the mayor of La Crosse, earned the endorsement of the mayor of Stevens Point, plus people know me well here in Eau Claire, so earn a lot of local officials here in Eau Claire too. And then plus just that grassroots energy that I bring. I have a ton of volunteers this early out of the election. People are asking me every day when they can door knock or canvass, which I have to say I've been in elections a lot. I've been volunteering for the last 8 years or so, and I haven't heard that energy so much before. So I think I have a real ground support energy, which I do think things are different now at the national level too, that we haven't seen the last two primary races or general races. People are fired up this year as I'm traveling through the 19 counties in red districts, red counties. Like, there are full houses and people are protesting every week. They have plans to keep going all year, all winter long. Again, we haven't seen that. I haven't seen that energy since 2016. So again, it's like I'm really tapping into that energy, riding with the people, just because that's how we're going to win in August. And then how we're going to win in November is just like bringing the people along, or I'm just like lockstep with the people too.
Emily Berge is with us. She is a candidate for Congress and City Council President in Eau Claire, a role that you will not be running for re-election. So how will that work then, that the City Council President spot, that is a separate race from the rest of the City Council members, right?
Correct. Yep. Okay. So we all have 3-year terms. There's one City Council President. There's 5 at-large seats and 5 district seats. And then every year those elections are up. So this past April, the at-large seats were up. Next April, the City Council President, my position will be up, and then it'll be district seats will be up. And so I'm elected. We don't have a mayor here in Eau Claire, as people know, but I'm elected, or the City Council President is elected like the mayor at an at-large election. So, yeah.
So tell us about how you're going to look back in your years as City Council President.
Well, we've gone through a lot as a city, as a nation through the last 8 years. You know, I ran for office in 2018 after the election of Donald Trump because I felt like I had to do something. I wanted to be the change I wanted to see. And I did not like the leadership of Donald Trump, what he was portraying way back then. So I ran knowing that I could bring something different with my background, being a counselor, being a mom, a local person. So that's why I stepped up way back then. And then since then, there's been, you know, turbulent times with politics, but also there's COVID, you know, serving on the city council through the pandemic of 2 years. I've served on the Board of Health during that time too, through welcoming refugees, you know, standing up to the MAGA extremists when they came after our community with hateful and racist rhetoric. I stood up against that. And then just with the closing of the hospitals too, with Sacred Heart and St. Joe's up in Chippewa. So our community has faced real challenges, and it's really, I hope, because I've strived to really stand up and really serve the people and be protective of our community. I'm a very protective person, whether it's my kids, my clients, my community constituents. So I hope people saw that I'm not scared to stand up to racists. I'm not scared to stand up to people that, you know, say terrible things about refugees. I'm not scared to stand up against MAGA extremists, the people that, you know, refuse to, that said, you know, threatened our lives during COVID, you know, elected officials. So I hope people see that. And I'm really proud of that leadership. And that's what I look back and I see those times. But I also see good times too. You know, Eau Claire has seen tremendous growth. You know, we've grown, you know, in 2020, the last census, our census was 69,421. Now it is 74,039 people. So we have grown thousands of people in just the last 5 years, which is amazing for the state of Wisconsin, because actually the state of Wisconsin is losing people and is slated to lose 200,000 over the next 20, 30 years. However, Eau Claire is slated to grow, continue to grow. And I'm proud of that growth. And I think a lot of that has to be, the city council is really focused on positive growth, smart growth. Housing is huge. The more I've been on city council and local government, I think housing is really the economic drive that cities need.
Well, and you definitely have had practice standing up to racists. And we're actually talking to our next guest, Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride, about that as well. And so Emily Berge stepping down from the city council president role, focusing on that run for Congress. And Emily joins us on that first morning of her announcement. Emily, thank you so much for your time. Good luck to you. Nice to touch base.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Yep. Have a great day. And as mentioned, we'll be talking to Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride, who also has a new book out about his turbulent first year in office. That's coming up after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Seconds until we're back.
Welcome back. We've got Dennis McBride, the mayor of Wauwatosa, standing by to talk about his new book out about the insanity that was the year 2020 and what a first-year mayor took away from lessons. Our question of the day has been, is Cyber Monday still a thing for you? And Craig notes on Facebook, Cyber Monday is only for electronics, nothing else. Black Friday is one day only, the Friday after Thanksgiving. They seem to forget this every single year. I don't think they forget it. It's a very intentional thing. I mean, President's Day sales that seem to go on for the entire month. You know, your Labor Day specials, again, they last a month. Whatever kind of a retail hook is out there, they're going to take advantage of it. I wanted to know if it's still special for any of you on Cyber Monday. Also, a lot of thanks to folks who have already entered our grown-up gift list text to win contest. Now, it's not going on right now. We did it during our 7 a.m. hour. And we're going to do it again in the 9 a.m. hour with Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, different keyword. So stick around. That'll be your next chance to text in and win. But I wanted to thank Jeff and Cleghorn for sending in a keyword to us. We got a few others along the way from Cassandra in New London, from Tom in Hartford, John in Oshkosh, Rosemary in Oliva, and Beth in Appleton, and Patty in Eau Claire. Thanks to you and all the others that we see coming through that texted in during the 7 a.m. hour. Again, be sure to look for your next chance to win at 9, then 11, and then 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. to enter our grown-up gift list text to win contest, a daily prize of $200 cash, and some great grand prizes as well. Details at civicmedia.us. All right, Dennis McBride was with us a little bit earlier to wish happy birthday to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and now he joins us now as a guest to talk all about the book that he put together, A City on the Edge, about his time as a brand new mayor in Wauwatosa in 2020. I know people want to kind of forget about 2020. You cannot. That pandemic and all the unrest is going to be part of American history. And we had to very much live it at the time, especially Dennis as mayor at the time. Dennis McBride, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Your point about forgetting 2020 shows the peril in doing that. Again, you know, the old expression is those who forget history are condemned to repeat it. And that's actually one of the main themes of my book. If you go into the last two chapters, I talk a lot about how the events of 2020 still affect us and are still with us in a way. So we can chat about that. But
oh, absolutely. I mean, it is to me that, you know, the term you hear is memory hole, that we've memory holed the pandemic. When, I mean, just this morning, I saw a commercial for Paxlovid. And it was kind of giving the same old, you know, the drug interactions can include blah, blah, blah. And I said to Sherry, my wife, I said, you know, instead of the usual drug commercial, the announcer should say something like, hey, I know y'all want to forget, but a million Americans died of this and it's still out there and it's still killing people. You got to take it seriously. And yet, if we go back and look at 2020, I mean, one of the fights you and others had to have was to listen to science.
Exactly. You know, in the book, I go back as well to the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918 to 1920. And I talk about how science was more or less prepared for that, but human nature was not. And then we started acting exactly the same way 100 years later when COVID-19 came in. And now we're doing it again. We have a federal government that is backing away from science and coming up with goofy theories about how vaccines don't work. Vaccines got us through the pandemic. We solved that, and now we're backtracking on that. And now we have measles outbreaks everywhere. It's we're heading back into the insanity that we suffered from in 2020.
Oh, no doubt about that. Dennis McBride is our guest. I've gotten ahead of myself because this all happened, and we haven't gotten yet to George Floyd and the police protests and all that. But this all happens, Dennis, as you're the newly elected mayor of Wauwatosa. So why don't we get back to the very beginning before any of this happened? You thought about running for mayor and ran. It's a half tongue-in-cheek question to ask with this kind of hindsight, but why? Why'd you decide at the time?
Well, everybody asked me the same question. They say, well, when you filed your papers in December of 2019, you probably couldn't have figured out that 2020 was going to be what it was. And of course not. Nobody could have anticipated that. I make the point in literally the first paragraph, 2020 is a year we will always remember. It's one of those significant years of history that will go down forever. I was an alderman for 10 years. I was a U.S. government attorney for over 25 years. I have served at all levels of government, both as a volunteer and as an elected official. This is in my genes. It's in my makeup. I was determined to serve my hometown, and I just happened to arrive in the middle of a global pandemic, and then other things happened. We had 98 days and nights of racial protests in Wauwatosa, 40 nights at my house. We had a mass shooting at the state's busiest shopping mall. And we were a significant place in the 2020 presidential election, curiously. So yeah. The way I sold the book was to say Wauwatosa was a microcosm of everything that was happening in America in 2020.
Yeah, it truly was. And for folks who weren't, in or around Tosa or the Milwaukee area at the time, what was it? Again, it's a microcosm. Things were happening all over. But why specifically in Tosa and even including, weeks of protests at your house? What is it that was, remind people of what was happening in 2020 closer to home?
Well, we had a police officer who ironically was black. He had shot and killed three men of color in the 5 years leading up to my mayoral tenure. 2.5 months before I became mayor was his last shooting. And nothing happened until George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis. And then, of course, nationally and internationally, protests broke out. But in Wauwatosa, because of that police officer, his name was Joseph Mensa, we had 98 days and nights of protests here. We also, there, as I said, 40 days and nights at my house, and that was on the misguided notion that the mayor could fire a police officer. Under state law, only the Police and Fire Commission can hire, fire, and discipline police officers. I had no role in that, and yet I had people outside my house day after day after day.
To what degree did that anger, and I've spoken a lot about that, incredibly justifiable anger, but as you know, for a lot of people, that anger crossed a line when it turned into, riots and fires and things like that, or even on a smaller scale, the misunderstanding that a mayor can hire and fire police officers. So again, as you look back at it, I mean, you can't change history, but what kind of notes would there be for the future when it comes to people that feel very strongly, very angry about something like unjustifiable police violence, and they want to do something about it?
Well, I served for 24 years at the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I represented people who are the victims of job discrimination based on race and sex and religion and age and disability. I lived and breathed that. And yet I got no credit for that in 2020 when I was trying to remind people that we have a legal system and you need to work through the law. You can't go out and do what people did in Kenosha, which is burn down 8 blocks of the city. And then we had an Illinois teenager come into Kenosha and kill 2 Black Lives Matter protesters. 5 weeks after that happened in Kenosha, I declared a curfew in Wauwatosa for 5 nights because we were worried about the same things happening here. And I got condemned by many people for that, but we ended up with $16,000 worth of broken windows. No Black Lives Matter protesters were killed, and we didn't have any blocks burning down in Wauwatosa. What I've told people is in times of crisis, you need a North Star. And the two North Stars I looked for were, one, my conscience. I quoted Abraham Lincoln, "We move forward with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right." That's your conscience. And then the other North Star, of course, always has to be the law. I've been a lawyer for over 40 years. I worked for a federal judge. I've taken 8 oaths of office of various kinds to support and defend and uphold the constitutions of the state and the United States. And I will follow that and give people due process. But a lot of people didn't want to give Joseph Mensa due process. They didn't want to follow the law. They just wanted to feel what they felt. And I get that. But it was my job to make sure that the people in Wauwatosa and the property in Wauwatosa were safe, but also people who come into Wauwatosa, to the state's busiest medical center, to the state's busiest shopping mall, to colleges and universities, were all taken care of.
Dennis McBride, mayor of Wauwatosa, joins us. The book is called A City on the Edge, Pandemic, Protest, and Polarization. It's published by Indiana University Press. Get there at iupress.org. So in closing, Dennis, you ran for re-election, and you're serving your second term as mayor. So I'll ask you that question again. Why?
I had unfinished business. Wauwatosa is a wonderful mini metropolis in the center of the Milwaukee metropolitan area. We still have great things to do. Frankly, I also wanted vindication, and I got it. I won re-election by 17.5 points. I do want to make this point. This book that you mentioned isn't just about Wauwatosa. It's about Seattle and Minneapolis and Portland and all the other places where things happened in 2020. The publisher didn't want just Wauwatosa. He was attracted, they were attracted by Wauwatosa as a microcosm, but it's a much bigger story. It's the story of America in 2020 and beyond, even to this day. So I hope people will read it and reflect on it.
Well, and to that end, I mean, certainly something we preach here a lot on the show, and I feel like I've got somebody in the choir loft here with me, and that is the value of running for local office at any given level. I mean, today is tomorrow's first day nomination papers can be taken out for some local offices. So I'm guessing you're not about to say, hey, it worked for me, but none of the rest of you should run for local office. We probably need people more than ever.
I was talking to an alderman yesterday about him running for re-election, and I said, you know, Mike, everybody ought to, I really believe this, everybody ought to run for office at least once. It's really an important experience in our democracy. Getting to meet the voters, going door to door in the snow, finding out what people really want and what they think and what they need, that's really important. And it all happens at the beginning, at the part of government closest to home, which is local government.
Pat McBride, who we also visited with earlier, and he had the book, The Luckiest Boy in the World, and you two are brothers.
Twin brothers.
And so to what degree is there any friendly competition here now on book sales? Because his book was pretty terrific. I read that one cover to cover. So you got any family bet going on this one?
Well, I was the co-author of his book. So
there you go. So you already you're already a head start.
I'm competing with myself.
Dennis McBride, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you again. A City on the Edge, Pandemic Protest and Polarization. See it at Indiana University Press, iupress.org, or wherever you get your books. Dennis, thank you so much. Have a great day. Happy holidays to you.
Thanks to you, and happy holidays to you and everyone else. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to get to talk to him about the value of running for local office and serving there. Jane Mattinair is on the way. Two more weeks of Mattinair on Air before her retirement, so we'll find out what she and Greg Bach are planning for this week. And then we're fully loaded with guests for the week here, including Congressman Mark Bocan coming up on Thursday. And of course, you can follow what I do at Up North News by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com and subscribing to our newsletter there as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Mattinair is with us now to talk about Mattinair on Air. We're into the 2 weeks heading in down the runway for the landing before she gets on another real plane and jets off to God knows where.
God knows where, that's right.
Yep. I have to ask, from a retirement standpoint, have you, because of course Sherry and I are now talking about this, so there's a million questions. Did you like right away map out, like, for the first year, we're going to travel to this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that? Or is it more of the, we're going to nap a lot and then we'll just figure out what we're doing from there? How much planning did you do?
I wish I were that organized. It's more of, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously do not have anything plotted out or planned, or I just might goof around for the rest of my life until I drop dead. I'm not sure.
Nothing wrong with that. No.
I'm not expecting the great American novel to come out of me.
No.
Actually, what I'm probably going to spend time doing, at least for the first couple of months, is my husband and I are trying to downsize and get rid of things.
That is always the first job I hear from people.
We've been in our house for 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much stuff. I don't even know. I think people come in at night and leave things. I don't know where it came from. It's like, what is that? Is that yours? I don't even recognize that.
I was saying we did that. We did that just yesterday. Our Christmas ornaments, you know, they used to be in one box and then two boxes. And now it's like three boxes and like another half box.
Yeah.
And they're all just kind of thrown in there. And this year, because we had nothing else going on and it was snowing like crazy, I just finally laid them all out while Sherry was working on making peanut butter balls and other other things. And I finally said, come over here. And she didn't know. She comes around the corner. I'm like, welcome to the Museum of Ornaments. And I did kind of organize them like these are the ones we always use. These are the ones that are kind of like to just to, you know, fill things out,
right,
which we don't need to do anymore after all these years. Right.
Yep.
And then there's these. And we both at different times said, I have never seen this ornament in my life.
Where did that come from?
Where did this come from? Was it a work gift? You know, one of those a white elephant swaps, whatever.
Or a Secret Santa or something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, a couple of them were just, I mean, they were butt ugly. They were just, I don't know where they came from. And not the ones that I know were handmade by our kids when they were little.
Those are precious.
Those are precious until the moment where you realize that if my mom said, hey, I have this thing you made for me in second grade, I know what I'd say. I'd go, oh, that's nice that you kept it. Throw it away.
Throw it out. It's so, time, Mom.
It's
thanks.
Time. And so we might have gone ahead and done that because we already know what they would say about it.
Well, yes, exactly.
Because let's face it, there's a reason they hadn't been put on the tree all these years. It may have been made with love, but it was not made to hang in the Louvre.
That is so funny that you say that. But I think that's a very specific thing about favorite ornaments that go on first.
Yes.
And then the lesser secondary ornaments for Phil.
Well, I was from the get-go, I was one of those that loved the Hallmark dated ornaments. And so for the first, 15 years or so, you've got First Christmas Together, Baby's First Christmas. There was, you know, a Disney World one for our first Disney trip all of them with the date on it. So it was and then there finally came like some year, I don't remember exactly when, where we're just like, none of these look good. Why? We're not getting any of these.
I don't even like this anymore.
I don't even like this anymore. And so we still have, you know, the first year's ones, and I always put those up first. You know, it's always very kind of sentimental. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, what other crap do we got to throw up here? And we eventually get it all done. But
yeah. The other thing you mentioned that Sherry did some baking, that was what I did on Saturday. That was my excuse to focus on sugar. I can't go outside, so essentially I'm just going to use butter and sugar all day. And that's essentially what I did.
Love it.
That's perfect. A great strategy. I
love that. I really, it could be for life as well. You know, there's just times when
butter and sugar.
You need to have a butter and sugar day, you know, if it comes out as cookies or cake or whatever, you know, but it starts with butter and sugar.
All good things stem from that.
I keep hearing that there are going to be like surprises here for the last 2 weeks of your radio show, but I'm sure you know one or two things you can tell us about coming up this week.
I do know one or two things. As you mentioned, they have some surprises scheduled for me. I love surprises. Uh-huh. We do have Aaron Carreno is going to be joining us this coming Thursday. Aaron and I go back a really, really long way. When he first started in radio, he was an intern for me.
Oh, wow.
And the morning show that I had at the time.
Now he's like one of the big bosses for Civic
Media.
He
is. Now he's part of our management team. So Aaron and I go back a long way. I'm sure he's going to talk all the bad stories about how I treated him when he was a young when he was a young intern and I abused him and probably made him wash my car. I don't know what I did to him.
Well, look, we're both now at a point where we kind of look back at some point and go, we kind of wince and go, oh, maybe I didn't handle that as graciously as I could have. You know?
Oh, I look back at some things. I was actually able to apologize to a woman that I have been wanting to apologize to for about 20 years.
Oh, my.
And I ran into Elizabeth Kay at the Mix, and I ran into her at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association event award ceremony last spring. And I said, I owe you like a 20-year apology. And we had a lovely conversation. I'm telling you, that is one of the best things that you can do is apologize to someone.
Yeah.
It's a gift. If they are gracious enough to forgive you, it is a huge gift.
I did about a year or so ago finally get to do that with a photographer, the one who I dragged along as we got Shanghai'd, kidnapped on a riverboat with Al Gore, and and missed an entire day's news because they did not let us off at the next stop as they promised.
Oh, no.
We didn't get along well to begin with. That only made things worse, and I finally got to make that apology. So that is that's a point very well taken, Jane.
It is.
Thankfully for me, I have nobody else to apologize to. It was just that one thing, right?
Just the one guy over just the course of your life. You did well, Pat Crowley.
Yeah. Not buying that for a minute. Jane Matinere on After the News. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, gentlemen. See you later.
All right. See you later. And thank you, Parker. Thanks to all of you for joining us. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.